You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas in the studio today. What a moment with Craig Burley. Also with us today, Yanar Fjortoff and Julien Laurent. We'll start with the big news that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has signed a new contract at Arsenal. This is what he had to say on the extension. Signing for this special club was never in doubt. I believe in Arsenal. We can achieve big things together. We have something exciting here. And I believe the best is to come for Arsenal. Jules, if it was never in doubt, why did it take so long?
Well, it took so long because they had to find an agreement to start with on the wages, on the clauses, bonuses in the contract, and the contract went back and forth between the club and its lawyers, but also Aubameyang and his people and his lawyer as well. And I think then the club wanted to announce it at the best time, and I think they did it in a very creative, innovative way, in the way he announced it live on Instagram to all the fans, which I thought was a good idea at Emirates as well, but they needed to prepare that, I think, and I think that's why it took a long time, although it was pretty much all agreed quite a few time ago. But I guess this is how you announce new transfers nowadays. You know, you try to find the best way of doing it, different way of doing it, and sometimes you just take a bit longer than the old Craig Burley or Yanar Fjortoff.
Wow.
He signed a new deal.
Before we hear from them, Jules, was there any real interest from anybody else?
There was interest. I don't think it went really far because from very early on, and probably the first discussion that Aubameyang had with Mikel Arteta, I think convinced him to stay. Arteta said him something, told him something very, it was quite easy, I think. It was, okay, you can go somewhere else and you will win trophies and you will score goals. But if you stay here and do the same, you will build a legacy. You could be part of the legends of this club before, the ones who have statues outside the stadium, the ones who've written this club's history before. And I think between going somewhere and be yet another player and stay there for 2 or 3 years, Aubameyang could also stay at Arsenal for longer and maybe be there 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know, he's 31 now, but you don't know what the future holds. But and really build that legacy. And he really wanted to become one day a legend at the club. And I think that's really what convinced him to stay and to sign this new 3-year deal, really, instead of going to maybe Barcelona or Juventus or the club somewhere else, instead of staying at Arsenal.
It's come to something, isn't it, when we're discussing how a player signing a new contract is distributed to...
It's all the marketing, Craig.
..to the fan base. But it is what it is. You know, I was thinking, before we were going to discuss this, about, you know, why did he sign? Was it because there was a lack of interest from some of the other big boys? Or you said to Jules, why did it take so long? And I thought to myself, do you know what? Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? I mean, it's not important now. The important thing is, you know, it doesn't matter if Barcelona or Man City or Liverpool or anybody, it doesn't matter if these clubs were not in for him, and that's maybe one of the reasons it pushed him over the line. The important thing is now, this was the big concern for Arsenal at the end of the season. He's clearly the talisman, clearly their best player, who performed brilliantly in the FA Cup semi-final, in the final, in the Community Shield, and they've nailed it. So it's really not important, you know.
Well, stop bringing it up then.
No, but I'm bringing up that you said to Jules, why did it take so long? And I'm saying to you, what does it matter? It's signed, it's sealed. Now he can get on with doing what he does for Arsenal. And Mikel Arteta can give a big sigh of relief that his main man is going to stay. And he can now look to build for this season. So it's great news if you're an Arsenal fan. But as for coming a legend, he's going to have to do it very quickly.
Well, this is the thing, at 31 years of age, isn't it? And they've just won the FA Cup, and I understand the momentum.
Well,
they're looking to build on that, but it's a big gap to close it on City and Liverpool.
Let's forget talking about legends. We're talking about Tony Adams and Thierry Henry and many, many players that have gone before that have spent, you know, 10 or 15 years at Arsenal. Let's just... His job to try and get Arsenal back on the front foot, challenging for the top four, that's first and foremost, and rebuilding this squad properly that should have started 3 or 4 years ago. The 3 or 4 years behind the eight ball because Wenger stayed too long. Then they made some poor recruitment choices. Unai Emery comes in, didn't really work. Now it looks like they've got a guy, a young guy, who's already proven with the FA Cup that he can win things, he can beat some big teams. Let's go and recruit properly and rebuild that football club from the bottom up. That's what it needs, and I think it's safe to say at the moment they're on the right footing.
Was it the easy option for him to stay and not pursue somewhere else at a bigger club in the Champions League?
Well, I don't know what was on the table for him.
Right.
I really don't. And so then you've got to make a decision. What's on the table for me? Is the grass always greener? Am I happy here and performing well with a manager that likes me? Oh, and by the way, they're going to pay me handsomely as well. So ultimately, only he can make that decision. But as I said, from an Arsenal perspective and from someone who watches a lot of the Premier League, and we also want to see challengers. We don't want to see domination from Man City, from Liverpool. We want to see Chelsea getting back in there. We want to see all the big clubs being able to go in there and get amongst it. This helps.
Jan, you take a look at Arsenal's potential this season and you'd think top four, I imagine, is where they would love to be come the end of the campaign. How feasible is that?
Well, it's more manageable now. I think this... I'm 100% sure that I agree with Craig. I think this is a fantastic news. I think that maybe not a legend, because being an Arsenal, to be a legend, you need to win a lot
of trophies. Hold on, Jan. Did I say this was not good news?
I will come to the point, because I try to understand what you're saying, that you shouldn't talk about other clubs and so on. But I think this is clearly the best signing of the whole transfer window so far. And you have the numbers.
Have I just been talking to this wall for the last 2.5 minutes? I've just said, Jan, this is brilliant news for Arsenal. Is it? Don't you understand my Norwegian?
I don't understand your French, I think. No, but I'm just saying, I want a bit, I know you're a bit sulky here. I just want to get up this up to be one of the... I think this is the best signing of the whole transfer window. I think it's great business for Arsenal. I read that he's getting more paid than Özil. And if you're going to go for a striker who scored 29 goals in 44 games, 71 in 110 games, this should be done. Craig, I've forgotten you now. I just wanted to take up the praise of Arsenal. We'll get a great player called Aubameyang.
You think that's me being... That was the nicest I've ever... That's the nicest I've been in weeks, months, maybe even years, Jan.
And Arsenal, there are challenges. Arsenal won the FA Cup. They won the Community Shield. So they are coming somewhere now. And Craig...
We've got to stop talking about the Community Shield if it's a real trophy.
Have you got Arsenal in the top four, yes or no?
No.
And I'm the one that's been horrible about Arsenal.
No, you're not horrible, but you are... I'm the first one who praising young German talents coming to England. Two of them coming to Chelsea Football Club. This is a fantastic signing, and you are talking about their Instagram account.
Jules, did you hear me say this was a brilliant signing for Arsenal?
Yeah, that's what you said. You only said that it didn't matter now where he could have gone if he hadn't stayed or how long it took, because it was such a good news, yeah.
Cut him off. You're tough. Get him off of here.
Jules, you do have Arsenal finishing in the top four, obviously, with your Arsenal ways.
He's got PSG in the top four.
PSG Arsenal Champions League final somehow. How much more do they need to do between now and the start of October and the close of the transfer window in your eyes?
Oh, I think they still need two midfielders. I think that's what Mikel Arteta wants. If they can get some money by selling first, Emi Martinez is going to go to Aston Villa. I think Lucas Torreira will probably go to Torino as well. That will bring them some funds in to then try to spend it on... I mean, Usain Awa is the ideal, the dream, really, for them. I don't know if they will be able to pull this one out, but they will certainly try hard, especially once they've sold Torreira and Martinez. Thomas Partey as well has been linked with them for the whole summer, pretty much. I don't know if they can do both Partey and Awa, but certainly two midfielders is what they need. And just to finish on Aubameyang, he loves the club. He loves the club so much that I think in his mind it was not so much like, oh, he's the grass greener somewhere else or what. It's like, I've got everything here. Why would I leave if now that the manager has come in and they work really well together, he can feel there's something growing at the club, that they're building on something quite interesting. And I think that, on top of the chat he had with Arteta, really convinced him that it was the right place for him at 31 years of age and for his family to continue his career.
And to be fair, I have to say, before Craig now will say that his Twitter account is bad, I have to say that it's a timing of the century. Aubameyang, I mean, we can talk about London, we can talk about Arteta. The timing he had now, Aubameyang, after doing that in the FA Cup final, Arsenal just had to sign him. Can you imagine that they couldn't sign him? Then they all had to leave. All they have to leave. So, Aubameyang, timing of the century.
I've deleted my Twitter app, Jan. I couldn't give a stuff. But
there you are, Twitter, Instagram. Although Craig's MySpace page is still pretty good. Jan, let's talk about the debutants for Chelsea yesterday, Kai Havertz and Timo Werner. How would you rate them overall?
I think generally, I mean, the pace of Werner will always be something to look up for. Although he didn't have the greatest game, but you can see the potential. They're doing all this stuff, coming quick forward. Havertz, I mean, sometimes on Twitter and in the social media, I think the criticism was fair. He didn't have a good game. I think he had at least touches of all the outfield players there, and he was a bit out of position as well. But it's funny, we were talking about Werner and Havertz, and then the goal gets are people who never score goals, more or less. So I think that was an okay game to start with. They played in Brighton, Chelsea won, but it was not the best games of the two of them.
Okay, Greg, we heard from you yesterday on Chelsea. So overall, from the opening weekend, who impressed you the most?
Well, actually, a team I think surprised me a little bit, maybe shouldn't, it was Everton. Because I look at the engine room in the middle of the park, Doucouré from Watford, solid. Allen from Napoli, really experienced in there. And that really solidifies for me, along with Andre Gomes. The middle of the park looks quite strong. And then you add that little bit of flair with James. So that's going to give James and Everton and Ancelotti a base. And I think if I was an Everton fan, you know, I would be quite excited about the potential, particularly with what he had in the middle of the park. I mean, if they make the top five or six, it would be a great season for them. But it looks a lot better than last year.
If I go to Jules, he's going to say Arsenal, isn't he?
Arsenal or PSG?
Jules?
No, you know, I agree with Craig. I thought Everton looked good. I liked what I saw from Wolves as well on Monday night against Sheffield United, which is not an easy place to go to. And I think Wolves, again, with Harley, no pre-season, it's just what you expect from them, but they just deliver it so well. So, yeah, I would say Everton and Wolves from this opening weekend.
And Jan?
I would take Leeds United. I think that was interesting to see Bielsa. We heard about all his skills and whatever he can do, and you would love to see them against the best team of England. And what a game that was. I went out with my dog for 20 minutes and I have 4 goals conceded. So timing of the central there for me. But the way they chased, the way they chased Liverpool, they made Van Dijk look insecure. They went man-man when they were doing the pressuring. I think Leeds was fantastic for me, and Calvin Phillips there in midfield always wanted a ball. So I think that was the main thing. And then I agree with the boys. I think Everton was fantastic in the way they got players in, and straight at the first game, they kind of makes such impact. That was very impressive.
Jan and Craig, thank you very much. That's it from you boys today. Jules will be with us a little later on, but if you want more from the boys, you can check out Extra Time, which is available over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
As promised, Ali Moreno is with us to discuss what's going on at Barcelona. Of course, rumours suggesting Memphis Depay, very much their number one target. Does this make sense to you?
No. No, I just don't see where Memphis Depay fits into this team. And is it a need area for you? No, you don't need any more attacking players or in between players or number 10s or wingers. You have all of that cover and plenty of that around if you're Barcelona. You need help from the midfield back, not from the midfield forward. So if you are going to spend money and you're a club that has been struggling with your finances and how you go about spending that money, man, it feels like you're reaching if you're going to go and search for Memphis Depay. What it tells me is that Ronald Koeman's saying, that's my player, that's my guy, that's the one that we need, that's the guy who's going to make the difference. He's selling it to the board and saying, almost demanding, we need to go get Memphis Depay because that's the sort of player we want and we need in this team. I don't think you need him if you're Barcelona. Certainly not more so than you would in somewhere from the midfield back.
And you take a look at your potential starting 11 and the bench, there's no place for Luis Suarez, who, of course, Barcelona are pretty much trying to ship out to anybody who will take it.
And that's exactly my point. I was asked to put a starting 11 based upon the fact that Memphis Depay was joining Barcelona. And if Memphis Depay is going to come in, well, he's going to play. There's no question about that, because it feels like it's a personal decision by Ronald Koeman. And it's also a personal decision by Ronald Koeman to tell Luis Suarez, thanks but no thanks.
Yeah.
And so therefore, Memphis is going to play. And if you're going to just force him into a lineup, well, where do you put him? You got to put him up top. Messi is going to have freedom to rotate wherever he wants to. Dembele will stay down the left-hand side. Griezmann, well, he's going to have to find a place within that team. But that front four is going to be all about rotation. Dembele in the left-hand side, the other guys with freedom to move everywhere.
Is it too romantic of me to say they should be treating Suarez better?
Well, they should. They should. And I think he has earned that. And I think this is part of the issue with Barcelona, part of the issue as to what Lionel Messi was talking about. The way that we're treating our players doesn't quite suit the things that they have accomplished for this team. But even Lionel Messi himself can say, you know what, they did not in any way follow through with what they have promised me. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing this to me, they're doing this to Luis Suarez. It doesn't set things up for Barcelona for success if the players on the field don't trust what's happening on the board. And that has been going on for years now.
Meanwhile, let's go up to Madrid, shall we, and talk about what they're going to do with Gareth Bale. The rumours of the last week that he could go to Manchester United. Latest one is back to Spurs.
When is it going to end? And to be quite honest with you, if you're Gareth Bale, you've had, in my opinion, ample opportunity to push your way out of Real Madrid and say, hey, I'll take a pay cut. You negotiate down. You say, and in every way possible, you say, I'll do everything that I can in order to be out on the field. Mm-hmm. If that's Manchester United, if that's Spurs, so be it. This is in the hands of both Gareth Bale and Real Madrid. Find a happy medium. It's not working for either one of them. A divorce is needed. Yeah. Nobody's happy here. Mm-hmm. Nobody's happy. And so, therefore, move on. Move on with your life. If you're Gareth Bale, find a place to play. If you're Real Madrid, just move away from this project, because it never really did work. And the times that it did work, it was excellent, but it never really did work with consistency.
Can Bale do anything in the Premier League? Can he make the sort of impact that Spurs fans are hoping for?
I don't think so. The best version of Gareth Bale, yes, but when was this? When did we see the very best of Gareth Bale? And don't tell me, oh, Champions League final because he scores a bicycle kick. That's a great moment. That's a fraction of a second moment of Gareth Bale, of his impact at Real Madrid. I'm talking about overall, the consistency of performance over the whole season, over the course of 30, 38 matches, 40 matches, whatever it may be. Do you see that sort of productivity from Gareth Bale? It hasn't happened in a long, long time.
Ali Moreno, thank you very much. I'm going to stretch my neck out and suggest that Gareth Bale won't be starting in Real Madrid's opening La Liga match, which is an interesting one, away in San Sebastian against Real Sociedad.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jules with us. Jules, no doubt about it, the big story in France over the last 40 hours is the fallout after that 1-0 win for Marseille against PSG. More really on Neymar getting sent off and then accusing Alvaro of using racial language throughout the game. What's the latest? Where are we on this?
So we're expecting now the league disciplines committee to get together on Wednesday night and to look at those five red cards to start with, I think, because they're the fact they're the ones who have been sent off, so they will be punished more or less heavily depending on what they did. So in the scales, if you want, of punishment for what you could get a red card for, brutality could get you up to 7 matches. So Neymar, who slapped Alvaro in the back of the head, Kurzawa and Amavi, who threw punches at each other and kicks at each other, I think could get heavily banned. For Paredes and Benedetto, who started the brawl really and got sent off for second yellow, I think it would be much less, maybe between 1 and 3 games. And then they would come to the proper nitty-gritty of what happened on Sunday night. The first one is the spit from Di Maria on towards Alvaro, which we can see on the footage from the television, which the VAR didn't seem to see in the first place, but clearly now I think you could easily see it. I don't think he reached Alvaro, but that's not the point here, especially when you think that Di Maria got tested positive for COVID a couple of weeks before that game. So I think Neymar could be done quite heavily there as well. And then obviously the big one is the Neymar Alvaro racial abuse incident. Neymar is adamant and keeps saying, and the club is supporting him, that Alvaro called him a monkey, called him, you know, black and other insults after throughout the game. And so far it seems that different broadcasters have some footage to show to the discipline committee, who then can make their mind up regarding what they can see on the footage and the images, and then they will have to make a decision. It's obviously a very sensitive subject, because at the moment it's the word of Neymar against the word of Alvaro, it's PSG against Marseille, and when you know the rivalry and everything, I think they won't take this lightly at all. So I think the investigation that they will launch could take a few days, maybe a few weeks, to come to an end and then to deliver a verdict. But I think it's something they would take very, very seriously.
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it, Jules? It's really messy, because at the moment, basically, you've got these two different sides of the argument with very different stories. Suggestions maybe there's new evidence from TV companies that are going to be submitted that maybe could hopefully clear this up once and for all.
Yes, that's right. I mean, at the beginning, it looked like the French broadcasters who showed the game, Media Pro, seems to have got something. They seem to say that they heard what Alvaro was saying to Neymar throughout the game, especially in the first half, which then they sort of went backwards a bit. And now it seems that they found some new evidences, maybe. There's also another foreign broadcasters, who also seem to have evidences about it, or at least footage that can show something. All of that has been sent to the French league. PSG are quite adamant that Neymar is right and that Neymar would not make this thing up. It's not because he lost the game that then he would invent or create someone racially abusing him. But Alvaro and Marseille are saying that he didn't say anything, he's not a racist guy at all. So as we've been saying, it's the word of one against the word of the other. But I think the league now, with the footage they have, will be able, or should be able, maybe with lip readers or things like this, maybe with more audio, can try to find out and shed the light on what exactly happened at the Parc des Princes on that night.
Just quickly, Di Maria, if he is found guilty, considering, as you say, this is a man who tested positive for COVID, we're talking months, aren't we, surely, as a ban?
So officially the rule says 6 games, but I agree with you. I think that, and again, you could see on the footage, it's not, you could see the spear going, not landing, but still leaving Di Maria's mouth towards Alvaro. And I think they could punish him more than 6 games. I think you're right. It could be easily 9, maybe even 10. It's because of the context as well as how bad spitting is. But I think because of the context, he could get punished heavier than what the rules say.
Jules, thank you very much. For more on this, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not long now, then, until the start of the new Bundesliga season here on ESPN. It all kicks off on Friday. Bayern Munich against Schalke, live on ESPN at 2 p.m. Eastern. And to continue our countdown to the start of the new campaign, be sure to check out the Bundesliga preview special, which is available tonight from 10 o'clock on ESPN Plus, or if you like, you can catch it tomorrow on ESPN 2. Carabao Cup action today. Bournemouth against Crystal Palace didn't serve up any goals in the 90 minutes. They did, however, serve up 21 penalties. Bournemouth winning by 11 goals to 10. Newcastle, meanwhile, with a 1-0 victory over Blackburn. West Ham, 3-0 over Charlton. Aston Villa beating Burton by 3-1. Oh, you're still here? I thought I said goodbye to you.
Carabao Cup already. Where are we? Champions League? What's going on?
I know, it just continues. It just keeps going on and on and on. Thank you very much to Craig. Thank you very much to everybody else who has been on today. Be sure to stay tuned for Extra Time. Craig, Jan and Jules answering your questions. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. We got Jan and Jules with us, as is Craig. It's weird today because me and Craig are in the studio together, but because of the way they've set things up in the four box, I've got to look at the camera and not look at you, Craig.
Well, don't look at me.
Well, I'm just saying, it's weird, look.
No, I'm not looking
at me. I can't throw things at you, that's all right. Okay, Jan, first question, this is a beauty for you. Why do you hate and resent giving United transfer news with some kind of joy and sound way more excited when giving Chelsea news?
That is a very good question, and I tried to explain that very slowly for people who don't understand that. Because there are something called news, and then there are something called good news. So don't kill the messenger. So if Dortmund say we won't sell him, and Manchester United say we're gonna buy him, then you have to listen to both parties. And most of people on Twitter, they're just listening to one partner, or one follower, or one journalist in England. And in Germany, nobody speaks about Sancho to Manchester United. Maybe tomorrow when we wake up, Ed Woodward has gone over there with 120 million euros to buy Sancho. Fantastic, Manchester United, if you do that. But till then, there are no news.
But why do you revel in it so much? You seem to enjoy Manchester United fans suffering, Jan.
No, because Chelsea was quite easy, because Chelsea got great negotiators. They talk to clubs, they make it quiet, and suddenly they sign a player. Manchester United use some of their time I guess, negotiating and then spinning it and then talking to people. And then they're going after Gareth Bale. And it's probably the next one now is Griezmann, because Griezmann is, or Schneider. Schneider was the main man. He was always linked to Manchester United.
Yep.
Get on with it. Get people like Bruno Fernandes. Fantastic signing. They got him in. It's better to buy players than talk about players.
Craig, which Premier League manager will be the first one to get the sack this season? Thoughts? There we go.
David Moyes.
David Moyes? Who do you think, Jules?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with Craig. I mean, I thought Craig was going to say Jose Mourinho, which would have been quite funny, and I think he is quite funny to say that maybe he could be the first one. However, more realistically, I think Moyes could be in trouble, especially if at some point West Ham get taken over by American investors, like he seems to be a possibility. I think Slaven Bilic at West Brom, although he did really well in the Championship, maybe has to be careful, and maybe even Scott Parker at Fulham too. But I would go for Moyes as my number one choice.
You think he would sack? Yeah, would Levy sack?
Mourinho, yes. I think so.
They were not great at the weekend.
No, they were not.
Wait and see. That's
they're good at Amazon. That's something.
Eh?
They're good at the reality shows. That is something that gives you a Champions League.
You were not going to watch that, are you, Craig?
No. You made me watch part of it.
I did. I sent you a clip of 2 minutes.
It's enough.
Facts.
Yeah. Where do Dortmund need to strengthen to take the title this season? Borussia Dortmund against Borussia Mönchengladbach live on ESPN Plus if you're in the US this weekend. There you are. Oh, plug.
They need a good striker. A good striker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need another Norwegian striker. No, they need to strengthen their heads. They need to, we talked about them not beating Paderborn and all these smaller teams. Paderborn not up there anymore. But when they play Bayern Munich, they look like they are playing some of their role models, their favorites. So they need to strengthen their heads. They've got a good team, they've got a talented team. And they have to make sure that Can, Witzel and Hummels and all these players are going into that leader role, because there could be too many kids. And as we said before, you can't win the league with kids in 1999. They said that. And maybe Dortmund can do it this season, but they need to be mentally stronger. And Favre need to come up with some winning formulas. That is not his strength.
Craig, when fights are beginning to erupt mid-game, why do players engage in them when it's highly likely they'll be red carded? What was the biggest brawl that you were ever involved with?
We don't really see players engaging with them now. We see players running over and doing nothing.
Yeah, the Marseille, obviously Marseille PSG.
Yeah.
That was quite big of the weekend. What was the biggest brawl you were involved with?
Oh, I saw a few in the training ground. Actually, I saw one in the training ground.
You can look at me now. Look, they got the two shot.
All right, I'm choosing not to. I saw one involving Kerry Dixon and a teammate of Jan's, countryman called Erling Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was a heavyweight bout. Let's just say that. And
it was a proper fight.
Well, it got fisticuffs, and Dennis Wise was a big mate with Kerry, and he jumped on Erling's back. Erling was walking towards Kerry.
Right.
And Wisey was on his back, but Erling, being Erling, strong as an ox, just kept ploughing forward with him on his back. It was just incredible. The two big guys, I mean, nice guys.
What started it?
Well, it was training, and Erling, who's a lovely guy, but really does like to kick people.
Okay.
And Kerry took it the wrong way, and they had a heavyweight contest at fisticuffs, of which I was about 19 years old, and I was heading back the way.
I bet.
I didn't want a ringside seat for that. But I saw a few in training as well, and the pitch. We had a big brawl against Leicester one day, and until Eddie Akinbaye took his top off. And that was enough. Everybody run for the hills.
But Dan, I got to tell you, because Erling Johnson was my roommate in the national team, and that story, I hope that Craig will tell it, because Erling told me about that story, and afterwards he was in the shower and he was waiting and he was thinking, how are we going to kill Kerry Dixon? He didn't decide how to do it. Should he use a gun, should he use a knife or whatever?
Wow.
So in comes Kerry Dixon, he walks into the shower, comes over to Erling and says, nothing personal, huh? No, and then it was over.
Wow.
That's what I love about football.
And what about you, Jan? Were you involved in any big brawls?
No, not a big brawl. I love my peace, and I didn't go in there. And no, we had some training incidents. I remember in one club, I won't tell you the name of the club or the player, but I remember then we went on in the dressing room as well. And, you know, the problem is with English football players, I think they learn in school how to break noses. So I think that is one of the grades in geography and English. So I knew I had to stay away, so I just stood up and said, no,
just quickly, I'll just go to say quickly while we're on Erling Johnson. Erling was, as you know, Jan, he's such a nice guy, but when we used to go on the odd night out with all the players, which was quite infrequent in London because of the size, more than once he would have too many beers, Erling, and he was never a big drinker, but he'd have a few beers. And then a couple of times he threw a punch at Kevin Hitchcock or one of the lads. Just I don't know what happened, it was just beer. And Erling would come in the next day, and he'd always come in the next day and go, another embarrassing evening. And it would be like forgotten.
But that was it. Because
but he'd always come in, all the boys would be sitting, and he'd go, another embarrassing evening. Brilliant, great guy.
Does Jules think Mbappe and Camavinga could end up at Madrid next summer?
Yeah, of course, it's a possibility, of course. I mean, they will need to have saved a lot of money from not spending in this transfer window, because both of them would cost them a lot of money, but why not? I think it would be really, I mean, we know how much Kylian Mbappe wants to one day play for Real Madrid, so I think this one is pretty much sorted if they can afford him. And for Camavinga, I think if Real Madrid's project that they offer him, because there would be a lot of clubs after him and a lot of projects be presented to him. But if he likes the project at Real Madrid, if he thinks that he will play and keep improving and developing and everything, then I think it's also a big possibility. But again, Mbappe will cost them 250 million euros, Camavinga will cost them 100 million euros, and that's just for the transfer fees. So, you know, let's hope that they can save their money and then spend it all next summer to try to get them to, otherwise it's impossible.
Can you imagine, boys, next summer, Mbappé maybe will like to leave. Erling Haaland in Dortmund got his clause, who starts next summer.
Haaland,
can you imagine how that's going to be an intense summer?
Yeah, but you'll still be talking about Jadon Sancho.
It's true.
I will. Yeah. And the Instagram account of Arsenal when they present him.
Is Frank Lampard the right man for Chelsea, Jules? I don't think that after last night's performance he'll last long.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. Listen, he had a really good season. For his first season last year, I think Chelsea in certain games should have done better. But for a first season coming from him, with the issues that they had with, you know, the transfer ban and the young players coming through, I think he did a really good job, very positive job. They lost a lot of games, and again there were some games, especially at home at Stamford Bridge, where they should have done better. But the pressure is huge now. There's no place for hiding at all. I have to say I was really disappointed by his tactics at Brighton on Monday night. And I mean, I thought Brighton deserved better than the 3-1 defeat in that game. I was very disappointed where Kai Havertz played. I think it's either you play him in his best position or you don't play him at all. But it was pointless, useless to play him where he played him, because at times Chelsea were playing at 10 against 11. So, I mean, he will have to do better, he knows that, and the team will have to do better than what they showed in that first game. But it was the first game, there's a lot of new players, more will come through, they will need a bit of time to adapt. But I think the pressure on Frank is huge this season, and I really hope that he can cope with it and keep improving and show that he deserves to be there, and he can lead this club to greatness.
Final question for you, Craig. Is it ever frustrating you got this job because you are such an accomplished pro who understands the game, and now you have Dan Thomas telling you you are wrong every day? I tell you you're wrong every day. It's off the back of Firmino and Raul Jimenez yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ah, there's lots of frustrations about this job sometimes. We do our best.
We do our best.
You did get a panning with that yesterday.
I did. I was surprised how much of a panning I got, actually. Well, there you go.
Yeah, you boys missed that.
Basically, I suggested that Raul Jimenez could come in and replace Firmino, and everyone shouted at me, Jan.
Yeah, I was. I turned the TV off, to be fair. When you said that.
Yeah, oh, shut up, Jules. Yeah, you're supposed to help me. You're one of them. You're not an ex-pro. Fourth division French football doesn't count.
It was one of those...
it counts.
It does not count.
It was one of those sentences that as soon as it came out of his mouth, I think he thought... Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Then I thought Frank might back me up for some reason. And Frank was like, he's the best striker in the world ever.
Frank wanted to still talk about his header at Coventry.
Exactly. Right, that's it. Jan's been here for quite a long time, as have you, Craig. That's it. Your boys are done now. Thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. You off tomorrow, Craig?
Yes.
Golf, by any chance?
Twice
golf. Basic sales. They are lovely. Until next time, Craig.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.